thanks again for Linode for sponsoring this episode of the news. They've actually upped our affiliate link. So instead of getting 1 month of credit, you now get $60 of credit, which you can make last up to 3 months, I think. It's $60 or 60 days, so 2 months, I guess, of credit. So if you use our affiliate link, you can get a little bit more credit and experiment with things. They really want you to mess with that Kubernetes cluster and some of the other services like their Amazon S3 substitute, which is quite competent. You should definitely give that a spin. They've also been writing a lot of how-tos. So like setting up the WireGuard thing, which I think we can improve on. And we will soon improve on because WireGuard. They've got a lot more services today than they did previously. You should really check it out. And in fact, if you're going to do a commercial migration to like Kubernetes from Google Compute Cloud or even some of the Azure Compute services and you're using Kubernetes, come to the Level 1 forum. I'll actually help you do that. So thank you, Linode, and on with the news.
Hello, chat. Today is July 21st. It is 100 gazillion degrees, 95% humidity. Send help. And today we're doing government and social.
The building, the electric meter on the side of the building where the air conditioners hook up, looks like the electric meter in the Griswold Christmas Vacation movie.
Ugh. You could hook up a magneto to it and make electricity. And you defeat the... It's infinite energy.
It's so hot.
Now, for those of you who comment and say, this is too long, some people actually commented and said, my commute isn't long enough to listen to this. You should make this shorter. And that's like...
Well, how are we going to like make it the perfect commute length for everybody?
Just the level of narcissism is fantastic. But for that one person, I bet this week will be good for you because not a ton of news stories.
No.
And I left quite a few out. Just because they were boring, but...
There's a lot of nothing burgers.
Yeah. Although we will start off with one, and this is a rare one, because we'd like to start with the FCC if possible, and I cannot... Maybe you found something, but I couldn't find anything wrong with this decision.
Yeah.
Rarity.
Give it time, but...
The FCC, Ars Technica reports the FCC that phone carriers that profit from robocalls could have all calls blocked. Safe Harbor lets phone companies block all calls from certain quote-unquote bad actor telecoms. So if you are a telecom in, let's say, cash-strapped rural eastern Kentucky, and you're more than happy to allow those international call centers to spin up, you know, VoIP servers in your data center and make U.S. calls from U.S. numbers for pennies on the dollar, the rest of the country is going to block you. And that's not going to be possible anymore.
No, that is going to be possible. It's not possible now. Because they could sue.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what I meant.
So they have already sent letters, and they're like, look, you're done if you keep doing this. We're not playing around anymore. And they claim 100% effective so far. I don't know how they're measuring that. I didn't get any robocalls this week, did you?
Maybe like one or two.
So maybe. That seems like the only way to fight it, right? You got to go to the source.
Yeah.
And there is a way to find out who they are. So.
Well, I found a way that you could consider this a bad thing. That this may cause a cultural shift where you're expected to pick up your phone if it's a number you don't know.
I don't think we'll ever go back to that.
No.
Because now people will know it's not a robocall.
I'm to the point where it's literally, if you call me on the phone without sending me a message or an email, that's rude.
Although I did get a CBD oil text message this week.
Oh.
Like, how did I get on that mailing list? Oh, well. I guess they can fix that next. And the blue leaks. So that was a big treasure trove of law enforcement data that was leaked 2 weeks ago, I think, at this point. And it had a lot of stuff that arguably really shouldn't be out there, like, you know, personal information, not just from law enforcement officers, but from people who were arrested. And that's bad. But amongst all that, now that people have had time to parse it, there were some very interesting things that were for law enforcement eyes only, and things that the public should hear about.
Homeland Security worries that the thing that we still can't say, that the masks for that thing, are breaking their facial recognition software, according to leaked documents. So this is from The Intercept, and they go on to explain about that kind of thing. But to me, that wasn't the most interesting thing to come out of the blue leaks. Like, it's one of the interesting things, but it's not one of the more interesting things. The most interesting thing for me was one of the protesters got arrested or one of the protesters was planning a protest, and they were worried that they were going to get arrested. So they sent a bunch of emails to law firms in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they were added to a terrorist watch list for having done that.
And indeed, it is the right-wing terrorists that they blame for trying to use the masks in an unsavory manner. And this is, so you have these fusion centers, which are, they're not agencies among themselves, but they sort of like try to tie agencies together and feed information to everybody. And they work among geographic areas. So one fusion center had one online message board post, or maybe it was more than one, but it was one message board of people saying, hey, let's use masks to hide our identities while we do bad stuff. And they used that as a national memo warning everybody that masks were the tools of terrorists.
So what you're saying is all the horrible people being horrible to each other that I see on 4chan is actually a plant to imagine the most ridiculous, insane future ever in order to get the Orwellian population control.
See, I think this is a case of the conspiracy theory goes too far because it's not needed. 4chan will fulfill that on its own. You don't have to plant them. Just use them as a never-ending source of evil to... You know.
This is like that time that they wouldn't let Kevin Mitnick use a touchtone telephone because they were afraid that he could call in a nuclear strike with a touchtone telephone, and they gave him a rotary phone.
That's got to be good for your ego, though. I mean, yeah. As insane as it is.
You literally have no idea how technology will work, so it's like, here, enjoy your rotary telephone because touchtones are too dangerous.
Could you have resisted when they gave it to you, just being like, you know... And the school situation is it's off and on. It seems like based on where you are, but more and more it seems like we're getting the municipalities and states themselves just noping on out because things keep getting worse.
California orders online schooling in hardest hit counties. This is in reported by Bloomberg. 2.8 increases in new cases, 130 more deaths at the time of this article, which is a little old now, July 17th, but hey, it's fine. And, yeah, so it's like, you know, if we get kids back together in the schools, that's going to be a cesspool of germs and more insanity. More of a cesspool.
Yeah, say it more is normally, usual. But it's probably worse now.
They're still using these old school chairs. I would think they would have come up with a new chair by now.
Nope. This would be the point where we should probably start asking, should internet be a utility? Because... how are these kids who don't have internet going to get their schooling?
And drive McDonald's. Starbucks.
Yeah. That also aren't open.
So, yeah, they are. Now, a lot of people are preaching against that. I think the White House is against that. They say that, you know, I think the quote was something hilarious, like, we shouldn't let the science get in the way of the education, which is just so brilliant.
Isn't this how Rome... like, didn't I read about this when Rome fell?
They could be forgiven, though. It was the first time anybody had tried that. And California, they've also posted some scary numbers in terms of cost. Because, you know, to fight this thing, we're spending a lot of money. And at some point, those debts come due. And as it just, you know, rolls along, nothing changes, keeps going bad... how do you get that money? And I think California, among with literally every other state except one, did you read which one it was?
Rhode Island?
No. It's the one that's taken our spot for the worst state, and West Virginia.
Oh, Alabama?
Alabama is the only state not to do this.
California is investigating Google for potential antitrust violations. Google's home state has been a holdout state, but now they're like, you know what? There probably is something to this antitrust thing. Now, which division of Google are you wondering about this? Ads.
Well, not just ads, but you know how they use Android and Chrome and, you know, their
ads.
Their ultimate grip on the world to serve the ad platform. Sure. Yeah, and everybody was weirded out because California has especially strict laws when it comes to that kind of thing. And they're like, California, why aren't you getting into this? And I bet they were just like, you know, there's several filing cabinets full of case files at this point because they were prepping hard. Before they went into it. So bad news for Google. I don't think they're gonna the what's his name that you I can't pronounce his name either. Pichai is going to talk to Congress.
Yeah,
and try to talk his way out of it.
Yeah, he's not as charismatic as Larry or Sergey, which is saying something.
But he's yards ahead of Zuckerberg because he's a human.
I was gonna say, are any of the big tech people really like people?
Yeah.
Would you say?
The Microsoft guy wasn't too bad.
Which one?
The sweaty one.
Ballmer.
Yeah.
Ballmer did seem more human than most people. Gates, no. I feel like Gates' lawyers overconditioned him to the point that like he wasn't able to provide any kind of useful response, but he's a lot more reasonable in his old age. Like sometimes he'll post a video to Reddit and it's like, oh, he actually seems like a real human being now. Whereas like during the antitrust trials, he seemed like a geriatric because he was like, I don't know. I don't really remember. Well, I don't know.
I'm torn on Gates because I feel like he does have an evil like depopulation plan. But I'm kind of with the whole depopulation thing. So I was like, I think he's doing it for the wrong reasons. But And the Chinese strife continues with the White House. They did not get to comment this week on Huawei. We didn't get a Huawei attack from any of the government agencies. So instead, a different vector.
Attorney General Barr accuses Hollywood and Big Tech of collaborating with China. Now, I was hoping to find something substantive that Barr had said, or something insightful or interesting, or something from his vantage point that was anything more than just fear-mongering and shaking a stick, and I was disappointed, because he, like, actually, I think the last thing that he says in this article, it's like, wow, introspective much, because he's saying, it's like, oh, big technology is going to toe the line in order to have access to these markets, and you know, they're going to censor their platforms and we shouldn't do that as Americans. And it's like, aren't you calling for backdoor encryption everywhere? Like, isn't that the thing that you're literally...
Which is very CCP flavored.
Yeah.
But I don't think...
But the U.S. is different.
I don't think he's wrong, because we've seen plenty of examples of the big tech companies censoring or removing or bowing to the CCP.
Yeah.
But these companies... See, I think the problem here is that we're treating them as if they should be proud Americans. These are global companies.
they don't care
a thing about America, aside from it being a really nice revenue stream.
Oh, I remembered finally. It was it's like when these companies get together and stand up against, you know, these demands from the CCP, they can really get something done. And it's like, dude, those companies are standing up against you and this ridiculous backdoor encryption nonsense.
And he championed the whole FBI Apple thing, yeah, which they also stood up against in unison. So, well, double-edged sword. It doesn't matter. You get your soundbite.
Double standard.
You get your anti-China article out there. It's all good. And China is... the U.S. is not the only country that they're unhappy with. Actually, the list just keeps growing. I mean, you got India now, Australia.
This is going to be UK. The Olympic torch that sets the thing on fire, I'm afraid. Could be.
I mean, the question is, how far do we go to protect them? Do we have any kind of treaties with them?
We do.
So, anyway, we're talking about Taiwan.
China will sanction Lockheed Martin over arms sales to Taiwan. So, yeah, Lockheed Martin has sold some stuff to Taiwan. Lockheed Martin was quick to point out that weapon sales is only about 20% of their income. Most of their other income are direct federal contracts, things like working on production of the F-35, which is different than just straight up weapon sales.
But you put the weapons on the F-35.
Well, they don't,
that's like, you know, we don't sell wheels, we sell cars.
Uh-huh. Yeah, China's not happy that the Taiwan is getting tools with which to resist should the mainland decide to take over. And we got some stories about what's going on with the Taiwanese parliament come the nonsense section.
This is Taiwan's president who just got reelected. I like her fashion, you know? It seems like a very approachable fashion, unlike the Hillary pantsuits. Now, we did not get a Huawei story from the U.S. government this week, but clearly, behind the scenes, some politicking has been done about Huawei.
The UK has barred Huawei from 5G as the tech battle between China and the West escalates. Now, when we first started reporting on this whole, like, Huawei, you know, banning telecom equipment, blah, 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 the EU was taking a much cooler approach. And the UK said, well, we haven't seen any evidence yet, but if we see evidence, we will issue a block. Interestingly, they don't mention any of those older quotes from Boris Johnson or anything like that, other than to say that Boris Johnson has reversed course.
Yeah, but they had announced that they were going to let them in certain parts of it.
Yeah, but this is everything.
Yeah, but they were going, and that was kind of contentious.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the announcement before was basically, even if this is compromised equipment, it's just going to be on the periphery of the network. It doesn't really matter there. And so they must have been shown something, or there must be some sort of political wrangling going on, one or the other, in order to have convinced them of that. I don't know. I've never worked on any Huawei equipment, but like with the Hikvision stuff, which is also on the ban list, there's a lot of stuff in there that was like, is this just insanely terrible coding, or is this a deliberate backdoor? And it kind of errs on the side of deliberate backdoor.
Not only can you not buy it, you have to get rid of it, but it's a ridiculously long timeline. I think it's like 2027 to get rid of it. So. It's funny because when it comes to a vaccine, those headlines will just shock the market every time. Like if somebody comes out and they're like, we got it, the S&P will just rock it off the charts. And then there's like, oh, we're just kidding, you know, and it goes right back down. It's amazing.
We got it for rhesus monkeys. It turns out it kills people.
The robots are very susceptible to vaccine hoaxes. But this story, this really is like kind of a, it illustrates why this is such a problem in the modern world. Because you would think once we discovered this, the first thing we would try to do above all things is get it to as many people as possible. Right?
Yeah.
Because the whole idea is it'll keep spreading if we don't do that. If there's one pocket of the world that doesn't have it, that's a risk to everybody. I guess, except for the vaccinated, which is what it's going to turn out to be. Because it's going to be very expensive, and it's going to be the haves and the have-nots. So this should not be... no one should be trying to do this, and no one should be trying to stop anybody from doing this.
Russian hackers are linked to sweeping attacks to try to steal vaccine research. It's vaccines for the thing. So, and this was in the UK. So like the UK, they're normally very reserved and whatever. There's a video of the guy talking to like the local BBC news service, and he, you know, in the very Oxford accent, I guess, somebody's going to correct me on that, is like, this is despicable. Like, you know, it's like spy versus spy, but come on, just like what you're saying.
But it should be, hey, Russians, here's what we've got. What do you got? Let's work together. We got to stop this. Instead, it's like, oh my God, this is so valuable. This is going to be liquid gold. Better than liquid gold once we have it. So stay out of here. We'll let you know the price when we figure it out. Yeah.
I do love that it's called Cozy Bear, like the Russian intelligence group.
I think we assign those names.
Yeah.
Because there was another one. It was like Hesitant Kitten or something, the Iranian one.
Fancy Bear.
Oh, yeah, Fancy Boar is the Chinese one. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I shudder to think what the price is going to be when that comes out.
Can you imagine when the ability to manipulate genetic material is about three or four more, notches more advanced? And you get a political power that's like North Korea, and it's like anybody that's not from North Korea is going to be horribly infected.
Or your parents opted to save money during your birth and let you keep this genetic deficiency. So now that you're 18, it's going to be four times as expensive. But it's on you now. Well, Facebook has their own problems with the EU leaders. Not so much antitrust, but the fact that they're just so evil in everything that they do and the whole data collection thing. And with GDPR, there's all these questions about, like, if you're Facebook and you're looking at data from your EU data centers in the US, you are moving that data across borders, right? Is that okay?
Tech firms like Facebook must restrict data sent from the EU to the US, a court has ruled. It's been a long-running legal battle. We've reported on it several times, but finally there's a ruling. It's like, no, the data needs to stay in the EU because once it's out of the EU, EU laws no longer apply to it.
And they literally pointed out the leak. And they're like, yeah, clearly the NSA is spying on you. We can't risk our data coming over there because the NSA will look at our data. They're not wrong. I'm sure they're spying themselves. But we'll see. Actually, I guess we won't see because... Tesla. Now, there was another... Did you see there was another Tesla that hit a parked police vehicle?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Autopilot.
Yeah, I think he sent it to me.
Just smashed it. And the guy was... I don't know if how it played out, but they were investigating him for DUI.
Mm.
So he was apparently a little tipsy, just turned on the old autopilot, and somehow it completely missed. It was an SUV with lights on.
Was it a cop car? Or was it look like it was an ambulance?
No, I think it was a police SUV.
Oh, okay.
There was an ambulance at the scene because it was another car accident.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But they weren't pulled completely off the road. So, that's unfortunate, and it definitely points out the flaws with the quote-unquote autonomous driving that we're supposedly still getting level 5 this year, and Germany's not having any of it.
German court bans Tesla ad statements related to autonomous driving, according to this Reuters article. It's not just autonomous driving, it's two terms that are banned. It's like autonomous something and then something else. And the German court basically said anybody that saw this in an advertisement would conclude that this does more than it does, so you're not going to be able to use those terms.
It's like autopilot inclusive and
full potential for autonomous driving.
Krista, the second paragraph under the image, could you pronounce the name of this German agency?
No.
Could you try?
I could try, and I'm sure anyone who speaks German will laugh. I'm too embarrassed.
Oh.
Too embarrassed.
You miss all the shots you don't take, Krista.
I know. It is kind of like a bummer. This is probably a reason a lot of Americans don't speak other languages. You don't really have a lot of opportunities to practice them with like native speakers.
Yeah, I've heard people will go to like Japan and they'll think, oh, I'll pick up some of the language when I'm in Japan. But the Japanese are so bilingual, they want to practice their English.
Yeah.
When they meet English speakers, so they don't speak Japanese.
Well, our country's just so big, and like, unless you're living close to one of the borders, when you get a chance to practice.
It's so big, and it's so much better than all the other countries.
I didn't say that.
Remember NSO Group? They're that pesky little spyware maker out of Israel, and they sell their spyware to mostly just governments and very, very rich companies and stuff like that. They don't sell it to the average. These aren't just stalkerware makers, no. This is the really good stuff. But the problem is, in some, what you might call, despotic governments, they've found them to be using the software. And they're like, whoa, whoa, how are you vetting these people? And they're like, we only give it to the most, you know, trustworthy of governments. And it seems to be not the case. And Amnesty International found some instances of that and said, we must put a stop to this.
Israeli court rules NSO Group can continue exporting spyware. The specific ruling was that Amnesty International didn't demonstrate conclusively that the NSO Group had sold the software specifically to spy on Amnesty International.
It would shock me if that is not in the NSO Group marketing material. If you could get a hold of that.
So here's a case study with Amnesty International.
Let's look at what we did in Morocco. I don't know if Morocco is one of the countries. They might have a wonderful government. It seems like we've covered Morocco doing some nasty things, right?
Yeah.
I think most governments have done some nasty things.
Like ours included, but I think that's the one where the journalists got attacked by the software.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm misremembering that. And usually, so why did Amnesty International fail? Because they had some evidence, but you don't get a smoking gun. You know, it's not like in the movies where there's a beautiful GUI and you just smash keys randomly and a little bar fills up. You don't get to watch in first person ever how hacking occurs until now.
Iranian spies accidentally leaked videos of themselves hacking. IBM's X-Force security team obtained 5 hours of APT-35 hacking operations showing exactly how the group steals data from email accounts and who it's targeting. They actually found training materials. So Wired, they didn't share everything that they found with Wired, but they did share two videos that were set up as demonstration videos for junior people. So it was like, okay, once you've got access to the Gmail account or the Yahoo account or whatever, connect it to these third-party applications, which will then mirror and download everything. And it doesn't take long to do that. Important note. For the accounts that were using two-factor authentication, they just put a little mark next to the account in the list and moved right along.
Why waste your time? Krista, what do you think about this image? It's very artsy.
It is very artsy. That's actually, this is live footage. This is what it looks like when they hack. just like weird symbols and shapes and colors.
A very new age GUI that they created for their hacking. Although they did point out, like you say, this wasn't the quote-unquote hacking part of it. This was the part that you want to train the junior members to do because it's just time-consuming. But after a successful phishing campaign, somebody has to go and collect all those email addresses and get the contents of their stuff. So it's like, yeah, let the interns do that. We're busy. Unfortunate. And the big TikTok battle rages on. Everybody was like, no, don't trust TikTok because they're in China. And TikTok was like, all right, we're out. We're leaving Hong Kong. We're going someplace else. Will they be trusted again? I don't know. But there is no shortage of targets to choose if TikTok is not on the chopping block.
U.S. threatens to restrict to WeChat following the TikTok backlash. So the quote, I think it was from a senator or something, and was like, these apps, they send all the data directly to China, and our kids really like them, and they're entertaining, and we just don't know what's going on, and, you know, our kids don't realize how dangerous this is. It's like, yeah, that's all apps. Literally all of them.
Yeah. Yes.
They point out that while TikTok is very popular amongst the Western kids, WeChat is almost universally used by the Chinese diaspora. I love that word.
The people that live here but still maintain ties to family back home.
That's what that means. And so, does it matter so much that the Chinese are spying on the Chinese just because they're living somewhere else? I guess it still does because they're our citizens now.
Yeah.
We must protect them. But what if they don't want to be protected? They got to talk to people.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much about protection so much as about control. And also, you know, pretending they're tough on China.
Oh, I don't think they're pretending.
Well.
But yeah, finding a way to poke China. Trying to get that hot war. We need it. We need something to pull us out of this economic slump that's going to be caused by the lockdown. And like I said, the TikTok thing rages on. Company after company and organization after organization just keeps stepping up and saying no more TikTok.
DNC and the RNC warn campaigns about using TikTok. So if you're going to use it, you know, as part of your campaign promotional materials, get a disposable burner phone.
Well, how do you think the Chinese diaspora vote traditionally? Are they red or blue?
Probably blue, I would think.
I think so. I think if you're going to leave communist rule... Well, no, but blue is more communist than red.
It's weird. It's a weird... It's more blue than red, but it also is really big about self-determination.
But what about small business?
Yeah.
Red is the small business party.
Yeah. I mean, is it... I don't think it is anymore.
Chinese diaspora in the comments. Let us know. I'm going to try to use that word as often.
And how does technology play a role? Because, you know, something that should be happening in our economy, but is not happening, as far as I can tell, is small upstarts. Like, people like you and me can get together and do some software and completely supplant and replace old guard small businesses that are doing things manually. Like, we can build software to automate things and completely replace...
That's destroying jobs.
Well, I mean, but it's good for the economy because the people that are displaced will learn new skills.
Mm. Yeah, that's what they keep saying about the robots.
Yeah, that's what happens.
I'm not saying we shouldn't do it.
Flippy service center.
That's survival of the smartest.
And so it seems like there are a lot of barriers that prevent us from doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And those same barriers do not scale.
Yeah.
That's the problem. it would be fine if everybody played by the same rules, but once you reach a certain point, just like when it comes on. Like when it comes to personal wealth. Once you hit a certain number, the rules stop applying.
Yeah.
And you just spiral out of control. And so, like the last story, that's just another brick in the wall here for old TikTok.
Wells Fargo wants employees to delete TikTok from company phones, according to Engadget. They're citing security concerns. I don't know how much of this is their own internal security team has done research and how much of it is just reading the headlines. I would have felt better about this if it was our internal security team has audited this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, they're watching.
They said that there were certain... They ran a test and they found like certain percentage of employees had the app installed, but it didn't say anything else about the data that was leaving or anything like that.
I love the fact that Wells Fargo is monitoring your apps.
Yeah.
It's not surprising, but it would bother me.
Disheartening.
What if, you know, you worked at Wells Fargo and you got a call and it was like, you put in 10 hours in Pixel Dungeon yesterday, and we don't believe that that was completely outside of your work hours just based on how much it was. Now, the big story, I guess, for this week, you would have to say, was the big Twitter hack and the subsequent Bitcoin heist that came from it. So these stories don't go into the history so much, but it was pretty simple. A lot of high-profile people there was what? Was Obama?
Mm-hmm.
Musk?
Bill Gates.
There was
lots of people with blue check marks.
6 or 7 in total, right?
Yeah.
They all said, hey, I'm going to give you double the amount of Bitcoin that you send me right now because I'm feeling super generous. And these are the kind of people, billionaires. Obama's not a billionaire, but he's got some money. And you would think, well, maybe they're crazy enough to do that. Musk certainly is crazy enough to do something like that. And so people were like, yeah, send the Bitcoin. And they only got, what was it, like 180,000?
Yeah.
But it only lasted for 30 minutes. So how did they get in? What happened? Trying to put it all back together, the New York Times has what they claim are the actual people involved.
This Week in Business, Twitter's mystery hackers. The short version, hilariously, is they just paid a Twitter employee or a couple of Twitter employees to change the email addresses on these accounts and that's it.
But they got that
internal
panel access.
And that means that they got the ability to change email addresses and other kinds of things. And you were talking about how the screenshot of the internal panel is hilarious.
Well, don't get ahead of yourself. First, let's talk about that's not the only thing they do and not the only people that were impacted.
Uh-oh. Twitter says that hackers swiped personal data during the big verified user hack, according to Mashable. So, more than just the 7 or 8 visible accounts that we named, it turns out there was a lot more accounts than that were affected.
It was just like those Iranians. They plugged it in and just pulled everything, including direct messages.
Womp.
What kind of... You think Musk has got some really embarrassing stuff in his direct messages?
Yes.
Almost certainly. He's got some embarrassing thing on his public Twitter profile.
That's true. Yeah, that's an excellent point. I hope that gets leaked. That'll be hilariously fun to read through. So, and like you say, it wasn't just blue checks that they did this to. Although, how do you think they targeted the non-blue checks? Who's the juicy non-blue check that you could get?
I'm sure Twitter has the full list of accounts, and we could probably discern a pattern from that.
I don't
think
they'll give us that. But what you were alluding to, now this is interesting because The Verge, I had to search for this. This was not where I usually collate all the news stories from and any of the sources. I had to search for it. The Verge did cover it, although they didn't really talk about the interesting words in the screenshot. I just posted it. If you post that screenshot on Twitter, you will be deleted and possibly banned.
Wow.
They did block out some stuff. I think it was like personal details. Vice has preemptively, prophylactically run a story about how this is a crazy conspiracy theory and you're an evil right-winger if you talk about it or post the screenshot.
Twitter reveals that its own employee tools contributed to the unprecedented hack. Twitter says that hackers compromised high-profile accounts thanks to access to internal tools. And what internal tool makes it... Like, why does Twitter employees need a control panel for changing an email address? And then there's this screenshot, which is what you were alluding to, that's like, oh, is this real? Is this not real? It's apparently real.
It's real. So even the Vice article doesn't deny that these tools do exactly what they say, which is to say that you can blacklist an entire hashtag or conversation from trending and from search. Oh, yeah, blacklist. I mean, it's 2020 Twitter. Jesus.
What?
So triggered. But Vice is like, oh, they've had that all along. And if you read, you know, page 5,706 of their terms of service, it says right there that they do this. So why are you getting these crazy conspiracy theories out there? But for those, the people that are pro-rescinding, is it what, Article 230?
Yes.
230 or 320? 230. 230. Their argument is this, that they are not just, you know, hosting, they are editorializing. And this kind of does point to that. I don't agree with getting rid of Article 230. That's crazy. But it does seem like Twitter is picking and choosing what goes on to trending.
You know, we've had to editorialize some of the content on our website just because it was a thread that was just going so far into stupid that it just had to be cleansed from the internet.
And they, you do have to appreciate the fact that it is a private business and they can do what they want. But they, I don't think we've ever lied to anybody about doing that on our website.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And they have said, we don't choose what goes on trending. It's just, but the algorithm figures it out. But this is a clear human interaction.
And with our forum as well, like, for a long time, we just didn't even allow politics or anything like that. Because it was just like, it's too much headache to moderate. And then we've slowly rolled out where it's like, okay, it's in a lockdown area. You have to be a certain trust level. And if you start acting like an asshole, you'll ruin it for everybody. And so far, it's been mostly okay, but it can go away at any time.
But that's the thing. Telling you that up front. You know, people complain in the comments. It's like, you shouldn't be political because you don't understand politics, which is the stupidest thing in the world. Anybody can understand politics. It's not.
Anybody can understand being a reasonable human being.
Understanding politics is not the same as understanding the, you know, the kabuki political theater that you think is politics. Yeah, how much time we got left? Let me give you
35
minutes. Let me give you a little soliloquy here.
Once, oh, no.
Now, think about politics and think about political coverage that you've seen recently, especially running up to the 2020 election. Once upon a time, I'd say maybe 60s, 70s, more people thought professional wrestling was real than didn't. And in those days, when people talked about professional wrestling, they would talk about it as if it were real, as if it's like, will this person win? Is this person stronger? Are they better? Blah, blah, blah. And then at some point, it became glaringly obvious that professional wrestling is not real. It's predetermined. And then, did it go away? Did people stop talking about it? No. They just started talking about it in terms of an imaginary third party. Like, how convincing was this wrestling match? Did they make it look real? Will this imaginary third party idiot buy into this? Or will they not? Now look at political coverage with that same thing in mind. Because it's just like, oh, will women voters go for Trump? It's not, is Trump good for women? Does he respect women? Will he do things? It's like, oh, will the third party idiot believe what this person who's obviously lying is saying? That's politics in a lot of sense.
See also Obama and the whole NSA spying thing. It's like, this is wrong. We got to roll this back. And it's like day one in office. Let's expand that program.
And the commentators are like, are the American people, are they going to buy it? Are they going to buy it?
I like the way Lawrence Lessig explained it. He did a TED Talk, and he explained it at some of the political processes like Lester's. It's like imagine that you have an election system where, like, the Lester's determine who's going to be voted on in the general election.
What's a Lester?
The Lester is just a prop that he uses for explaining the people that contribute monetarily to the election, the people who matter, basically. So, like, the Lester's are the people who matter, which is the place where the Congress critters get their money.
Yeah, I guess it's, but when they talk about it on the TV, they're talking about it more in terms of just like, you know,
yeah,
Joe Average, who is still stupid enough to believe that any of it is real. Not us. We're smarter than that. Our viewers are smarter than that. But we must talk about it in those terms. So as you watch political coverage, think about that and look at it. And it's like, who is this third party? Do they exist? And we talked last week about the Twitch U.S. Army channel. It had some interesting things happening. A lot of people were talking about war crimes in the chat. They didn't care for that. They decided to ban those people. Interesting aside about that in the story. But more importantly, they had a little giveaway.
Twitch tells the U.S. Army to stop sharing fake prize giveaways sent users through the recruitment page. The bait and switch tactic promised viewers an Xbox Elite Series 2 controller. The U.S. Army said, hey, if they join up, we're going to give them an Xbox Elite Series 2 controller after two tours.
You know what else they get for free? A really, really amazing prosthetic leg.
That's not free.
You won't believe how good it is.
That's quite far not from free, actually.
Terms and conditions may apply.
The other thing about interesting about that story, remember when Trump, when it was ruled that Trump is not allowed to delete responses to his tweets or block people because he is a government office, they ruled the same thing here. Mm. You can't delete war crime chat in the Twitch chat because it's government. That's free speech.
Nice. Good job, Twitch.
Interesting. Might be fun to go to the old U.S. Army Twitch channel and see what's going on over there.
5 years from now, we're going to be brought up on terrorism charges for that comment, inciting violence or something.
Krista, we're at 39 minutes, so I think we have time. Do you still have Planned Pumpkinhood going on your patio?
Yes, unfortunately. Well, now we're in the middle of a heat wave here in Kentucky, so it's aborting pumpkins like mad. Apparently, pumpkins don't like extreme heat.
Oh.
I've tried kind of like moving them into the shade a little bit, but it's not happening. It's not happening for me. Wow. I may try adding calcium to the soil. I think someone mentioned that might be part of it, but
now,
I don't know.
You know, this is controversial, but do you believe that pumpkin life begins at pollination?
Yes. Hmm. And even when I have to hand pollinate artificially.
Which is against God. Frankly.
We don't have enough bees to get it done normally. At least like... I was stupid. I didn't plant any flowers. I didn't plant any like pollinators, things that attract pollinators in my garden this year, and I'm paying for it now.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah.
Give us a Twilight of the Pumpkins / Rookie Gardener goodbye.
Goodbye.
Perfect.
I don't know why the pumpkin sounds like that.
Because they're dead.
That's what pumpkins sound like.
Yeah.